Do you hear that? It might sound like nothing to you, but it's actually the sound of nuclear, wind and solar energy. At EDF, we're busy generating more British zero carbon electricity than anyone to help keep future energy costs down for everyone and help cut UK carbon emissions to nothing. Sound good to you? Find out more about our zero carbon generation at edfenergy.com/helpingbritain.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, December 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, we discussed what's making workers so grumpy these days. Today, we're looking at what would bring people happiness at their job. For many, that might be a raise. But just getting a bump in salary might not be enough.
If you look at what employers are planning for next year, on average, they're expecting to increase workers' pay for non-union employees by about 4%. Nobody's going to turn down that amount of money, but people said that they would need a 50% raise in order to feel happy and less stressed.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker after the break.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't help you generate cubist versions of your family's holiday photos. But it will help you understand which supplier is best to help you roll out your plant-based packaging in Southeast Asia, or identify the training your junior project manager needs to rise up the ranks, and automate repetitive tasks while you focus on big innovations, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
Money can buy a lot of things, but can it buy happiness at work? Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker joins me. So, Joe, as the competition for workers has heated up over the past couple of years, many employers have bumped up salaries. Has that made workers happier?
If you look at what employers are planning for next year, on average, they're expecting to increase workers' pay for non-union employees by about 4% next year. That's according to a survey from the consulting firm Mercer. Nobody's going to turn down that amount of money, but it's also interesting to compare that percentage to a number that came from a recent survey from the financial services company Empower. According to their survey, people said that they would need a 50% raise in order to feel happy and less stressed.
50% raise to be happy?
Yeah, it's quite a bit. It's probably not something that's going to come anytime soon, but that's the number that, on average, people would point to.
Yeah, I can understand how that would make people happy. How do those numbers break out in that survey?
So if you look at all of the respondents to the survey overall, their median salary was $65,000 a year, and the median response for how much money they said they'd need to make in order to be happy was $95,000 a year. And it's interesting, the survey also breaks down the responses by income bracket. And at each bracket, people are always saying a bit more than what they currently have. So even among the highest earners who were surveyed, they had a median income of $250,000 a year. Their median response for how much money they'd need to make to be happy was $350,000 a year.
So if people get a raise, that's nice, but it's never enough?
That's one way to interpret this, certainly. And anyone who has seen their pay go up over a period of time can recognize the ways in which, yeah, it's certainly better, but it's also something that you get used to. So we often focus on trying to make more money, but I was talking with a happiness researcher named Elizabeth Dunn, and she was saying that we might be better off directing more of our energy, focusing on the best ways to use the money that we already have. There are ways we can change what we spend on and change how we save that are demonstrated to make us happier by lots of research. And so that might be a better place to start paying attention.
So the happiness might not just be handed to us. There actually is a bit of legwork on the part of the person who is trying to achieve happiness.
It's about making more of what you already have than focusing on what you don't.
So you've taken a look at several studies that actually measured the impact of certain amounts of money on people's happiness. What were the results?
Yeah, there's a good amount of research showing, maybe unsurprisingly, that there is a link between having more money and being happier. One study that came out last year found that people who randomly received $10,000, tended to be happier and in a measurable way for at least 6 months after they got the money. Another one was looking at people who won the lottery and won an amount of money that was usually between $100,000 and $500,000. And when you compare those people to people who played the lottery but didn't win anything or won a smaller prize, the people who won the bigger prizes ended up saying that they were overall more satisfied with their lives, even more than a decade after they won the lottery.
Okay, so indeed, more money can make life a lot easier for many people.
No question. And something that can get lost sometimes in these conversations about money and happiness is that for a lot of people, it's not just about happiness, it's also about paying the bills. And certainly a lot of people would benefit from just having more money and making life easier.
So what's the lesson here about money and happiness?
There are two things that jump out to me. The first is that money undeniably does help make people happier. Research shows that, and many people would even argue that you probably don't need research to say that. But the second takeaway for me is that money certainly isn't everything. When we think about our lives with more money, we tend to focus on what would be different, but we don't focus on all the things that would still stay the same and that money wouldn't change at all. And those might be a really important part of our happiness too.
So Joe, why are these studies being done? Why is there a need for this data?
In an economy like ours, the question of how much more money makes people happier is a hugely central one. It's a motivation for a lot of people to work harder. And it's one that researchers want to better understand, companies want to better understand, and certainly everyday people want to better understand.
How could this survey data be put to good use to boost overall happiness?
I think it gives us all something to think about when we are considering the role of money in our lives, because as this survey from Empower shows, people at every step of the income ladder are always eyeing the next one. And that's true even when you go to the really high rungs. With that in mind, it might behoove us to think more about the limits of setting specific money goals as a way of being happier.
That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back on Monday with WSJ's Oyin Adedoyin to clear up some confusion about the new FAFSA form. This episode was produced by me, J.R. Whalen. We had additional support this week from Ariana Osperu and Danny Lewis. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.